I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For when the New York Mets would make the right decision and postpone opening day, you're correct! Because it is official now, the New York Mets have tweeted out that opening day, scheduled for tomorrow at 1:10 p.m. against the Brewers, has officially been postponed and rescheduled for Friday at 1:40 p.m. So they actually moved back the start time a half hour, not sure why. So if you had tickets for tomorrow's game and you can still go Friday, great. You'll get a much nicer day. You use those same tickets that you had for opening day for Thursday. You use it on Friday. For those that can't go on Friday, but we're going to go on Thursday, it sucks. I mean, it's just, I wish I had a better answer than it sucks. But this is the risks of playing baseball in late March. The weather can be crappy. Then again, it rains all the time. So that's the risks of games in July, too.
Right.
But I give the Mets credit because the key to this whole thing was getting it done and not letting and making people wait. And dare I say, opening up the gates tomorrow to have people stare at a tarpaulin with rain falling on it. So the Mets made a very wise decision. This is the second year in a row this is happening, because this happened last year as well for the home opener where it got postponed back a day. But that's why they have the extra day in the standings, or the extra day in the schedule to start the year. So the New York Mets will open up the season one day later now, Friday, March 29th, 1:40 p.m., Mets against the Brewers. Yankees are good to go because there's a dome in Houston. And speaking of which, when the Mets tweet this out, I naturally click on the tweet, and I'm telling you, like 70% of the responses were, quote, get a roof, you poverty franchise.
What?
I'm like, what? Get a roof, you loser franchise. Get a roof, you poverty franchise. I'm reading it all right now. Actually, the weather looks good, according to Mike Donaburner. No, the weather does not look good. There's a 98% chance of rain. But it's amazing. You ready for this? This is gonna rock your brain what I'm about to tell you. The last five Mets opening days. Are you ready?
Okay.
2020, postponed COVID. 2021, postponed COVID.
Mm.
2022, postponed lockout. 2023, postponed rain. 2024, postponed rain.
Wow.
We're on fire, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if I realized that.
Well, why was it postponed in 21 because of COVID?
Because the Mets were scheduled to open up. Oh, you don't even remember this. The Mets were scheduled to open up in Washington, D.C. There was a COVID outbreak on the Nationals.
Oh,
they did not play the entire weekend while baseball started.
That's right.
The Mets then opened on like a Monday night in Philadelphia. That's when I went to the game.
Yeah, that's
to keep
what you're talking. Oh, that's right.
Opening day streak alive.
Wait, were you supposed to go to the Nationals game?
No.
Oh, wow.
So you would have broken your streak.
I was in line to have my streak broken.
So yes. COVID saved your streak.
In a weird way, COVID saved my streak.
Interesting.
There's a chance I would have reacted anyway and done something. Maybe I would have gone. I don't know. But yeah, COVID on the Nationals postponed 21. 22 was the lockout. Like, I know there's this weird thing. Pete Alonso mentioned this a few weeks ago, how he has not had a season opening game at Citi Field in his Mets career. And you hear that and you're like, what? How is that possible? And when you think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense. In 2019, they opened on the road, okay?
2020, they open at home.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the stands.
Right.
We don't count that. 2021, they opened on the road. 2022, they're supposed to open at home. There's a lockout. So the schedule gets pushed back. They end up opening on the road. 2023, they open on the road. 2024, this year, the schedule will open at home. So when you look at lockout, when you look at COVID, when you look at nobody in the stands, that's somehow how you get to the fact that the Mets have not had a home season opener with fans in the stands since, crazily enough, 2018, which is remarkable. So good job by the Mets. No game tomorrow. Game on Friday. 1:40 first pitch.
Not for nothing. Those fans are right. And I know it's a little late. This is still a disgrace that we built all these new stadiums. And if you want to eliminate MetLife, there should have been retractable roofs on these stadiums.
I mean, it's too late, though, man.
The I know it's too late.
MetLife, I wouldn't want it because the elements of the of football in the, okay. in the winter, are they're fine.
Like, but you could have had it. Final Fours. But that's beside the point. The amount of times.
You need. I guess MetLife. But do you care about doing a Final Four at MetLife when you can do it at Madison Square Garden?
You're right, Tiki. You know what, Tiki? They don't do it in the small arenas. But you're right
I know,
on that.
But you know what I mean.
But the bottom line is this. How many times, and we're going to do this all summer, the forecast. We shouldn't in the Northeast be checking a forecast when you build a new stadium.
I've heard this said a lot, and I want to give you the real answer, and I want every single Yankee fan and Met fan to really think about what I'm about to tell you, because what I'm about to tell you is real. Even though years before City and Yankee Stadium were built, there were proposals for a Met Stadium with a dome and a Yankee Stadium with a dome, I don't think it was ever realistic. And then obviously 9/11 hits, we hit a financial crisis, it was never going to happen. But it's very expensive to build a dome. What if I told you there could have been a dome? We would never have opening day rained out. The compromise is, since it's so expensive, one stadium. And it's shared by both the New York Yankees and the New York Mets.
I'm in.
I'm
in. I already share it with my football teams. It doesn't bother me. And I know we're the big brother anyway. So just be like the Mets playing in the Yankees.
You know what? That's probably why my knee-jerk reaction is hell no. I'm not sharing a stadium with you.
I'm just so tired of being a ticket holder to a game and having to sweat a week out on the forecast day of. It's a disgrace when you think about all the money that was poured into these stadiums. I'm sorry, it is.
Obviously, in a perfect world, we're not worrying about weather. We're not worrying about rain, whether it's in July or March. We're not worrying about really cold weather. I just think it was unrealistic. You know how expensive a dome was going to be?
I get it, and I get
it. Taxpayers were paying for it, Sean.
I know. Taxpayers. The union prices make it much more expensive than doing it in Texas or Arizona.
I think that's why the Giants and the Jets didn't do it at MetLife, because it was just that building is almost as expensive as the one in Texas.
Yeah, and it's Jerry World. Yeah.
And it's not even close to it.
Our union prices are higher.
Well, and also, I want you to do that. This is right up Tiki's alley, but let's play the financial game. Let's say the Mets had a dome. We'll use the Mets as an example since they just had opening day rained out. Mm-hmm. Great. Don't have to worry about weather. So maybe there are more people going to Saturday's game. Forget opening day. Opening day is going to sell it anyway.
Right.
How many more people are actually going? And how many years would it take for that extra money you're bringing in to pay for the fact that the dome was going to cost you $500 million?
Right. And that's the number. It's $500 million
right.
more.
So let's say, because I think, you draw better, don't get me wrong, but let's say on Saturday afternoon against the Brewers, instead of an ounce crowd of 27,000, there's 32,000. Maybe there is 5,000 more people, but I even doubt that.
Yeah, and the challenge is you'd almost need it to be retractable, which is even more money.
Has to be
because
retractable.
The last thing you want to do in the summer in New York is go sit inside
100%
and watch a baseball game.
No, you need it retractable.
You need that in like Arizona, right? Vegas, when they eventually get a stadium or a baseball team. But in New York, you want it. You want the atmosphere
you
of being outside.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
By the way, I saw something very disturbing last night, and I'm so glad that my oldest son no longer watches Paw Patrol. Do your girls watch Paw Patrol, Sean?
One does, one is out on it.
Yeah.
This will not bother you because you're a Yankee fan, but it was just announced that Aaron Judge will appear in a Paw Patrol spinoff episode of Rubbling Crew this summer.
Oh,
we will have an animated Aaron Judge. It's an episode titled The Crews Build a Ballpark. Judge isn't able to attend a home run derby, so Rubble and friends help him build a ballpark
to host the Derby in Builder Cove.
That is cool.
I like that plot line.
So you're asking me what my issue is?
No, that's cool. I like that.
No, it's very cool.
But what's your issue with Paw Patrol?
My issue? No, my issue isn't with Paw Patrol. My issue is with my son loving Paw Patrol.
Why?
And then seeing Aaron Judge appear and having that affect maybe his love for his baseball team.
It's great. He could grow up a Yankee Laker fan.
Yeah, my youngest is not really into Paw Patrol yet. He still hasn't made that. My oldest just grew out of Paw Patrol. But what I know is that Aaron Judge is making a guest appearance on Paw Patrol.
He's going to be immortalized in cartoon.
Yes.
That's when you know you've made it.
That's when you know you've made it.
I was in an episode of Wah Wah Wubsy.
What's that?
Wah Wah Wubsy is old. I mean, I don't know if they make it anymore, but it was just, it maybe only lasted a couple of seasons, but I did a guest appearance in Wah Wah Wubsy.
That's another episode we all need to watch. We need to check out. What's it called? Wah Wah Wubsy?
Yes.
Wah Wah Wubsy. Wah Wah Wubsy. And I want to compliment Sean Morash and Brian Cashman. Okay, both guys. We'll start with Sean. Sean said something, I think it was pretty obvious, but he was the first one to say it, so I want to give him credit, that the Yankees were going to make a move for an infielder, that this 26-man roster is not set. And he was clearly 1,000% right about it. And I want to give Brian Cashman credit. And for the Yankee fans that are not familiar, let me help you out. Actually, you don't even need to listen to me. Ask a Met fan. Ask a diehard Met fan in your life about John Birdie. And you know what they're going to tell you? Pain in the ass. That's what they're going to tell you. John Birdie is a pain in the ass Met killer. Now, forget that he's a Met killer. He's now a member of the New York Yankees because the Yankees traded Ben Rortvedt and got John Birdie back. John Birdie is a super utility guy. He could play anywhere in the infield, but really can play third base. In fact, I'd start him over Oswaldo at this point. I would give John Birdie that opportunity, especially on opening day against a lefty. Hmm. Oswaldo is a switch hitter that can't bat right-handed right now. He's actually going to bat left-handed most of the time. So John Birdie should play opening day against Framber Valdez. But here's what John Birdie is. He can run. He can hit a little bit. He's a good little versatile player, and you got him for a song, and he makes the Yankee bench deeper. Even when DJ's healthy, that's a really good bench piece to have. So no sarcasm here. Sometimes those small moves matter, especially if you're going to overcome injuries. And I think that was a good little move by the Yankees. And I'm happy because I don't have to face them anymore.
If I may. It is high. It is far. It is birdie, birdie good.
That's what you came up with?
Yeah.
Instead of pretty, pretty good?
Birdie, birdie good?
Yeah.
How about it's a birdie bath? Or something like that.
Bye, bye, birdie.
Yeah, that's better. It.
That's
it. Come on.
John Birdie goes deep. Bye, bye, birdie.
Yeah, that's it.
That's better.
We came to a conclusion.
Yeah.
By the way, this would be a good time to tease.
Tease what? What are you, like the producer now? What do you want to tease?
John Sterling.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you do it then, since you're
coming up
at
about 5:50 this evening. Stay with us for our grand finale John Sterling montage. Every John Sterling call crammed into one segment.
Okay, first of all, this is why you should never tease anything. I never said what it was. I just said it was the John Sterling grand finale. Oh,
this is why I gave you the cue ball to do the tease.
I was leaving it to the imagination of our listeners. You decided here's what it is.
Well, there you go.